Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
What's happening? Happy Thursday. That is the cover of the show. If I got to be honest with you, if I had known what I know now, I would have changed the cover. There's Giannis. He speaks. And I don't know if it's good news or bad news. I'll ask you. But there it is right there. Not good news? I should have put like a question mark. I don't know. Maybe it is good news. Maybe it's not good news. But he spoke, of course, on a YouTube podcast, whatever the hell it was, on a boat. And it's really interesting. So, hang on 1 second. I'm trying to take a distraction away here. So, here's what happens. I wake up every morning. Ooh, nice hit. Nice drive by Steph Curry up in Tahoe. But I wake up every morning and, you know, I have some stuff from the night before. I have a rough outline of the show. That's kind of how things go. And then I wake up at probably 5:30, 6 o'clock. I like to wake up early. I go through everything. I grab some coffee. I start reading stuff. The gears start turning in my head. I start thinking this would be good. This would be good. I grab some videos, pictures, all sorts of stuff. I throw them on the show when we start talking. Well, there was a couple of things that happened late. First of all, if you look at the chalkboard here, I think that we're going to have to change things around a little bit. And if you're new around here, thank you, thank you, thank you. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Maybe you're watching on X. Maybe you're watching on Instagram. If you would migrate over the YouTube channel, we got a great community. A bunch of people sitting in the chat room, and it is awesome. We have a great time. So it's awesome. However you're watching today, Facebook, LinkedIn, maybe you're watching on the Bay Area Sports Collective channel, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. However you are watching, X at John Lund Radio, Instagram at John Lund Radio, however you're watching. Love to have you over here on YouTube. But anyway, let me continue here. So I wake up and I think, oh my God, there's not much to talk about, because I don't want to talk about a 13-0 loss to the Phillies. What's there to talk about? Justin Verlander pitched better. Tristan Beck was absolutely bombed. Okay, fine. That's no fun to talk about, right? The Dodgers are coming into town. That's pretty good. I was looking at needs by OPS. We did that yesterday, but I got a list for you. I got a list for trade guys, because I was looking at ideas, because I'm like, there's not a lot going on today. We're a little bit slow as far as the NFL, so I got Brock Purdy on Bussin' with the Boys on what he would do to win a Super Bowl, which I think is pretty funny. I told you that ESPN's putting a bunch of grades. So actually they got an offseason grade for the 49ers. That's kind of surprising. And then late in the process, I find this video that Giannis is speaking on a boat about his future, which is really interesting. So I'm like, oh, that's the lead. But then after that, and I didn't have time to put this on the chalkboard, I see another discussion between on the No Filter Network with my good friend Eric Burns. And not only Burnsy, but of course, Will Clark. And Will Clark has a message for Will Fleming, which of course you got Dave Fleming and Will Fleming and Red Sox and Devers. And I told you this. I told you this before even Will Fleming spoke. And we'll revisit that, because maybe you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But Will Fleming, Dave Fleming's brother, is a broadcaster for the Red Sox. They came into town right when Rafael Devers was traded. He went on WEEI in Boston, which is the flagship radio station of the Red Sox, and said that Devers wouldn't come out and work out with Will Clark, which wasn't necessarily accurate, or at least that's not the whole story. I played the whole story for you, which is he didn't want to go in front of the Boston media, in front of the Boston dugout, after he had said he wouldn't play first base for them. Will Clark totally understood that, but people cut out that part and just talked about the part where Will Clark said he didn't show up. Clark had an explanation. Nobody talked about that. And then Will Clark said, but next time he better get his ass out there. So they cut out the part where Will Clark understood why Devers didn't come out there. So that's one part. First part was Will Fleming. Second part was Will Clark. And then Will Clark, I just found this right before the show, went off on Will Fleming and the Boston media about putting words in his mouth. And like I said, and I said this yesterday, go back to yesterday's show, episode 186, taking out of context what he said, because that's what East Coast media does. And I explained the media differences yesterday, because I've been all over the country and done this for 30 years, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, Well, Clark had a two-word response to Will Fleming and was none too happy about it because you know Will Clark. So then there's Will Fleming, Dave Fleming, Devers, Clark. This whole thing has gotten out of control. But I explained it to you yesterday without Will Clark's emphasis, but we will play Will Clark's emphasis because that's what's the story of the day to me, at least. So that's what we're going to lead with today. Even though it's not on the chalkboard, this is probably a first for the chalkboard. We usually stay right with the chalkboard for the most part. I might juggle it around a little bit, but we have a topic because I found it so late in the process here. And that's why I was a few minutes late. I was getting all that stuff into the system so that we could play it for you. Going back and forth about that stuff. So we got a ton of stuff to get to today. Plus I am going to do the trade listen. So I did a bunch of stuff that was like, oh my God, we got to fill some stuff. So I'm going to get all this stuff in there. And then it turns out that we didn't need to, which is so much what this process is all about. YouTube channels, radio shows for many years, many, many times I've put together a show. I've produced a show and then I've looked at it and said, well, we got to scrap that. Maybe there's a trade or a move or something happens or whatever. And then all that work you did to put the show together is completely out the window because this is actually the lead story. So we're going to do that with Will Clark, Will Fleming, Eric Burns, Dave Fleming, Rafael Devers, that whole thing. We'll do it in just 1 minute. But welcome in. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Before we get out to roll call, which is what we do to say hello to everybody in the chat room each day. And we are here around 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, around 10 a.m. on Saturdays. There is Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, the fine sponsor of the program. If you click on that QR code right now, that's going to take you straight through to the website. And why would you want to do that? Well, because Dr. Riopel does things for men, women, makes you feel better, makes you look better, does all sorts of things. And like I've told you before, it's not just the things that I talk about, which is my wife is feeling great because of the stem cell. My wife is feeling great. Her shoulders feeling great. Her elbows feeling great. Her foot is feeling great. All these things I tell you about Dr. Riopel all the time. And so Dr. Riopel is awesome. Look, he says, don't say too much. Don't, you know, there's legalities. I don't know. I just know from watching my wife and the way she feels, it's a miracle the way she feels because of the stem cell. And Dr. Riopel was one of the first in California to do the stem cell process. I'm telling you, it is incredible. It's just incredible. And so that's something I highly recommend. I do the low T procedures with him. I've been doing low T for years and years. So you feel better. Your testosterone is up. Your mood is better. Your metabolism is faster. You just feel like yourself again. And I used to have to do these shots weekly. Now it's just like every 3-4 months you go in there, take a quick blood test. Okay, let's get you back up to your levels. It's really easy. It's really quick. And I do that with Dr. Riopel. So if you click on that QR code right there, it's going to put you right to the website. So there you go. The website's right there. That QR code is going to click you through. And then you can check out all the procedures that Dr. Riopel does. So check out Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. If you can't get to that QR code, I understand. Just do your favorite search engine. Maybe Google it. R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. All right, we got a ton to get to for episode 187. And again, your attendance is greatly appreciated. Looking in the chat room right now on John Lund Unleashed, good morning to our good friend Dom. And Perry is here this morning, and it's great to see you, Mark. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? I got to get the – I'm just going to lead with the Will Clark thing. I have to. That's exactly right. He didn't want to face the media. I said this yesterday, but it really wasn't that hard. And people just, they took the beginning. Well, anyway, I'll play it for you in just a second. Good morning, everyone. Jake says, good morning, Joe Schmo. Oh, we already got our first, super in the house today. Remember, if you want your stuff up on the screen, 100% guaranteed, a super is the way to go. A couple of bucks and you're contributing to the show. So thank you for that. Good morning also to the 1420. Good morning, Kenny Smith. It is great to see you. Usually Kenny's got a Giants thought. He's with me. It's like when you get beat 13-0, whatever. When Mike Yastrzemski's pitching late in the game, whatever. Not going to spend a ton of time on that. Naomi is here today. Joy is here today, which is awesome. That means we're going to have a great show. Hurley Bird is here this morning. A bunch of people in the room, say good morning to us, please. If you're new, it would be amazing if you just say, hey, man, I'm new around here. Good to see everybody. Everybody's cool in this room, man. And as I always say, you don't have to agree with the host or anybody else in here. This is a safe zone. You can actually have an opinion that people go, oh, my God. So anyway, That is Roll Call this morning, any Thursday edition, jam-packed edition of the program. Tommy this morning. Hello, Tommy. Tommy's been first with Supers over the last few days, and it is much appreciated. Beck is a bum. He should be working at McDonald's. No offense to anybody working at McDonald's. But, yeah, he was terrible. Guys, I didn't even put the box score up. I just didn't even, like, okay, here's the story. Verlander deserved better. He's 0-7. He deserved better. Like you said, Beck was horrid. They didn't score, so obviously the offense is an issue, and the Dodgers are coming to town, which we'll get into in a minute. But I agree with you 100%. It was terrible, and I've never been a Beck guy either. No offense to that dude, but you know what's funny is, so Tommy here says he should be working at McDonald's. So what I used to always say is, like in preseason football games, I'll give you an example, and this is all going to come around. I used to be like, look, they're in the fourth quarter, that, you know, that corner that the wide receiver just burned, like, let's say Jordan Watkins, the rookie at Ole Miss for the Niners, catches an 80-yard touchdown. And I'll always put a caveat on it that says, hey, that's awesome, but the guy that's the corner there is going to be a UPS driver in a week. And then a UPS driver hit me up when I was on the air. He was up in Seattle, and he was listening, and he was driving around, and he goes, hey, bro, I'm a UPS driver, man. I got nice legs. I make a good living. What the hell, bro? And I'm like, yeah, exactly. It's no offense to you. It's just, you know, he's not going to be a corner in the NFL, so I had to be more careful in what I said. So he should be working at McDonald's. McDonald's is fine. It's a fine place to work. But if you're a Major League Baseball pitcher, that's, you know, I totally understand your point. Like, dude, that was not good yesterday. I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around, but I'm not going to sit here and talk about a 13-0 game. It's not. It's a waste of my time. And you don't want to hear it. Buick Grand Sport. It is good to see Buick in the house today. Everybody say hello to Buick Grand Sport. I don't know that I've seen Buick before, so great to see my friend AJ is here this morning as well. See, that's what I'm talking about. So let's welcome our good friend Buick Grand Sport to the program and to the chat room. Thank you for doing that, Buick. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And like I said, you don't have to agree with the host. The host is usually drinking Bailey's and coffee or some kind of a concoction and doesn't know what he's talking about a lot of the time. Anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Another super before we give you the Will Clark stuff, that is our good friend Fuji. Fuji, yeah, we're texting back and forth. I will be on the air tomorrow night. I think Larry's going to go to the game, so he may do some check-ins or anything. I do remember, for example, I was at opening day, Giants opening day, when Willie Adames, by the way, got a game-winning hit in extra innings. And I checked in with Krug. Krug did the show from home, so what I might be doing is I might be kind of doing a solo act, but then Krug will be jumping in and things like that. So I got to talk to Krug because he's going down to the game. I know that for a fact. So I will give you more information when it becomes available. Good morning to you, Fuji. It is great to see you, and thanks for the super. All right, let me see here. Let's see, did anything else? All right, good morning, Anthony. It is great to see you. You and Polly Pint. That wouldn't be bad. Let me text Polly and see who's around. Maybe Rod's around. I don't know. Let's see. That wouldn't be a bad thing. We'll just hang out and drink beers. That'd be great. All right, let's get to it. And again, welcome some new people into the house today and make sure that everybody's cool. See, there you go, man. I can tell you right away. Welcome to the show. See, people are cool in here, man. So if you want to come over here, that would be outstanding. All right, let's do this. It's not on the board because it came up late. So forgive me for that. Usually I've got the chalkboard going, but let's do this. All right, let's go back. All right, let's go back. So a couple of days ago, Will Fleming, Dave Fleming's brother, broadcaster for the Red Sox, comes on the air, WEEI in Boston. They've got a different media. I've lived back there, done media back there. It's just a different ballgame. They like being miserable and angry. And he goes on the flagship of the Red Sox and basically says that, hey, you know, Will Clark got stood up by Rafael Devers. He didn't come out to first base. What the hell, bro? And basically said that's why the Red Sox traded him, and he's a big pain in the ass.
And they think he's going to win them divisions and hit a bunch. He's going to hit home runs. Of course he is. They don't yet know what is going to happen with the player. I was there the second day. Will Clark was there to work on ground balls with him at first base, and Rafi didn't show up. So that's the person that these guys have been dealing with for a long time.
And again, broadcaster with the Red Sox, trying to defend the organization. I get it. His checks are signed by the Red Sox. I totally get it. I totally get it. He's ripping the player. He's trying to curry favor with the fans. However, people in Boston, just like fans here in San Francisco, we're smarter than that. That's not going to work, but I get it. He's a broadcaster, wants to keep his job, so he goes on the morning show on WEEI as the broadcaster for the Red Sox and says, hey, man, essentially, Rafael Devers is a big pain in the ass. Good thing they traded him. Did you see that he stood up the great Will Clark? Okay, so this is what Will Clark said. Okay, we played this yesterday, but because Will Clark has added to this now today, let me go back to yesterday. I played this and I explained what Will Clark said. And conveniently, as you're listening to this, it goes like this. Will Clark says he stood him up. Will Clark says Boston was in town. He understands he didn't want to be part of the media, and he didn't come out and hit at all either. So it's not like he stood Will Clark up only. And then at the end said, I'm going to drag his ass out there. And so the first part and the third part is all anybody heard. And the second part where Will Clark said he understood, nobody can, or conveniently everybody forgot about that. And then it became an issue. So here's Will Clark. And this is what Will Fleming is talking about.
Bob Melvin want me to go out there and work with him around first base. No problem. And we weren't going to like go through anything physical. We're just going to walk through and say, hey, look, if throw's coming from over there, stand this way. If throw's coming from over there, stand that way. It wasn't going to be this big thing, right? And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he did not come out early at all.
Okay, so that's what people cut it off as. Now here's the explanation.
Oh, period. Not at all. Now, in fact, he didn't even hit on the field, right? And everybody's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, Will. I'm so sorry. I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. I said, I know what the fuck happened. I said, he didn't want to go out and be at first base and be 20 feet in front of their freaking dugout with, you know, what went on in Boston. And now he's working with me at first base. He didn't want to have to go through all that bullshit through the press and the media. And so, anyway, so I completely understand. But Rafael Devers?
Okay, so hang on before he... So that part was cut out. That part by most people, including everyone in Boston, including Will Fleming, that part, the explanation. So he didn't come out to meet Will Clark. The way they interpreted it is, look at that big pain in the ass. He stood up Will Clark. Will Clark said, look, he's not going to go stand and work with me at first base in front of the Boston dugout, in front of the Boston media, so much so that he didn't come out and hit. So he didn't just stand up Will Clark, and Will Clark understood it. So nobody reported that part of it. All right. And then, so this is the part. So the first part where he said he stood me up, and the third part, this part is all that got reported.
The next time I'm in San Francisco, your ass will be on the field at first base. Just letting you know that. Just from the
yeah, but if he's not going to go out, he's going to tell you.
Hey, look, even if I got to go grab you by the fucking back of the neck and drag your ass out there, you will be.
Okay, so absolutely, that's Will Clark being Will Clark. I understand that. So people took the first part, the third part, didn't take the second part. In addition to that, we all know this, he's dealing with a hamstring, he's dealing with a back, and that's, he hasn't even, and Bob Melvin said this, I don't know, 10 days ago, again, conveniently forgotten by people. Bob Melvin said, look, he's not working at first base because Matt Chapman got hurt and people said, well, can he play third? And he goes, Bob Melvin said, not only could he not play third right now, he can't play first. He's not going in the field. He's got some ailments. He's working on stuff. And again, I'm not an excuse maker. I don't work for the Giants. I don't get a check from the Giants. I never got a check from the Giants. I don't work on the flagship of the Giants anymore. Like none of that stuff. So objectively, if Rafael Devers was a guy that we needed to take a shot at right now, we would. But the fact is that A, he's been hurt. B, he didn't want to be in front of the Boston media. Nobody's reporting that, or nobody was reporting that, conveniently enough. And so Will Clark got pissed because what he said got taken out of context, which it often does. And I get it. Look, like I said, I'm from back there, or not from back there, but I worked back there. I worked in Detroit. I worked in Pittsburgh. I worked in those places where the more negative and the more miserable things were, the ratings got higher. And in the West Coast, things, when the team wins, the ratings get higher. When the team loses, they tank because we have other stuff to do. It doesn't work like that in the Northeast, in the Midwest. A lot of times, especially in cold weather sports, there's nothing else to do but bitch and moan. There's nothing else to do. There's not. You don't have the option of the beach or wine country or different things that you can do. It's just not like that. So what do people do? They bitch and moan. For a fact, I was there when the Lions went 0-16. Ratings through the roof. And I didn't get it because I was on the West Coast. I'm like, wait a minute. People in the West Coast, we turn the radio off. We turn the TV off. We turn the team off. We go do something. They go, not here. They go, we get more intense. We get more pissed off. The ratings go higher. So that's how it is. And I get what Will Fleming is doing. Will Fleming works for the Red Sox. His check says Boston Red Sox on it. And so he's trying to defend the organization from one of the worst trades, well, the worst trade since Mookie Betts. Because Kyle Harrison's not pitching well there. Now, maybe, but he's in the minor leagues trying to learn some pitches so he could actually be a starting pitching pitcher in baseball. We know what Jordan Hicks is. He was put in there for money. We don't know what James Tibbs is or the dartboard arm that the Giants gave the Red Sox. So their fans are pissed. They're pissed. And they don't find other things to do. They call into radio shows like WEEI and bitch and moan. And so a mouthpiece for the organization says, look what he did to Will Clark. That guy's an asshole. We should have traded him. Glad he's gone. And he's trying to curry favor with the Red Sox fans, which ain't working. But okay. So now you got two sides of it. You got Will Fleming, what he did. You got Will Clark, what he did. And then Will Clark, here's what Will Fleming did. Let's get our Will straight. Will Clark, here's what Will Fleming did and has a message for him because his message was misconstrued, Will Clark's. It was misconstrued because people didn't report what Will Clark said, just the first part, the third part, not the second part, the explanation. So here's Will Clark.
Will Fleming, you can go fuck off, motherfucker. All right? You want to fucking take a conversation that we're having and then blow it out of proportion because you're a fucking East Coast piece of shit reporter? Fuck off. All right?
I mean, come on, man. Will, tell us how you really feel. We got to play that again. We got to play that again.
Will Fleming, you can go fuck off, motherfucker. All right? You want to fucking take a conversation that we're having and then blow it out of proportion because you're a fucking East Coast piece of shit reporter? Fuck off. All right?
So if there was any question whether Will Clark was pissed or whether Will Clark understood or whether – because remember, Will Clark didn't have the greatest relationship with the media. He knows. He understood that Rafael Devers was not going to go stand at first base across from the Red Sox dugout in front of the Boston media so that he would have to take a bunch of questions. Wait a minute, you're working out at first base for the Giants. How come he couldn't do it for the Red Sox? He wasn't going to do that. And he didn't blow Will Clark off. He didn't even come out and hit, which is what he normally does. So that part got not reported, not discussed, swept under the rug, however you want to call it. I understand a guy who gets his check signed by the Red Sox, tried to defend the organization, not going to work, but he tried. Will Clark hears about it, goes off on him. And the fact that it's Dave Fleming's brother is like, oh boy, here we go. And Dave, by the way, is awesome. Dave Fleming could not be more of an awesome guy. Had him, I don't know how many times on the show. Then, I did pre-post or pre-game for the Giants a million times, and Dave would come down and sit with us on the patio. He's the greatest. I mean, Dave Fleming is the greatest. And now he's stuck in the middle of this shit going, oh my God, he's serious? My brother this? And the organization's not going to get mad at him or anything like that, but my God, he's sitting in the middle of this thing going, God, can I just not be in the middle of this whole thing? Oh my God. Because again, it's not, Dave Fleming will say things. I mean, he knows where his checks are signed. Dave Fleming will say things, but it's like my brother says this, and then I'm in the middle of this. And I understand all sides of it. But I think by Will Clark going off on him, it's like, look, man, quit trying to blow this thing out of proportion, man. Just quit trying to blow this out of proportion.
Will Fleming, you can go fuck off, motherfucker.
Look at Bernsey.
All right? You want to fucking take a conversation that we're having and then blow it out of proportion because you're a fucking East Coast piece of shit reporter? Fuck off.
So I guess what we're saying here, sorry. I guess what we're saying here is there's no issue. It was a few day story, but we had to play the Will Clark part of it, but it's the story's over. Like there's no rift. There's no issue. There's no problem. A guy tried to defend his organization from a terrible trade. Will Clark ain't having it. Tried to twist Will's words. Didn't report the fact that Will said he understood why he didn't come out. And then Will hears what the dude said and basically rips him to shreds. So I think it's over. I mean, I'm sure in Boston they're like, Will, you got to come back at him. Will Fleming. Will Fleming's like, we're done. We're done here. Don't expect that dude to address that again. Like, I'm sure maybe he's on with a weekly or something as the broadcaster for the, kind of like what Dave Fleming does. They'll come on. I'm sure he's going to tell him next, like, that's over. I'm not doing that anymore. So don't even ask me about it. Exactly. Dave Fleming's in the middle of this going, do not talk to me about this. I do not want to get in the middle of this. Dave is so good, though. Dave is so good. He'll address it in kind of a funny way or something. I'm sure Tolbert will have him on or something like that, and it'll be funny. But anyway, there you go. So not on the board today, but the story of the day, Will Clark, Will Fleming, Rafael Devers, Bernsey, Dave Fleming, like the whole thing together. Just amazing, man. Yeah, 100%. Thank you for the super tangy. Great to see you, man. Tangy. Will Clark is his own caboose pistol. 100%. I would have saved that for the, you know, I don't even know if I have a caboose pistol today. As a matter of fact, because I was getting so much stuff together. There is so much today. But anyway, yeah, he is. He is absolutely, I mean, that is as good as or better than, I hate to say this, a caboose pistol, because it was so good. Great point by you, Tangy. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for the donation to the show. Thanks to Tangy. Will Clark is his own caboose pistol, and he is. So there you go. Again, it is very rare that we lead, let alone go with a story that we didn't put up on the chalkboard, but that was absolutely amazing. If you missed it, you can either go back or stay with the show, and what I'll do is I will post right underneath here. If you're watching the show later, I will make sure that I post the chapters, and you can hit on that if you didn't see the whole Will Clark thing that I just redid, and I did talk about yesterday. So that's the Will Clark story, which just right before the show, I saw that thing. So really, really cool, man. Carlos, it is good to see you, my friend. Nice to hear you. When are you having Pop on? I missed you guys in KMBR, but happy to hear your channel. First of all, welcome, Carlos. Very nice to see you. Very nice, everyone. Welcome, Carlos, to the program officially in the chat room. And like I said, if you're watching on one of the other platforms, thank you. If you would come over to the chat room and be a part of the community, that would be outstanding. So if you're on X or Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or any of these other places, even if you're on the Bay Area Sports Collective, a lot of the chat room is in on John Lund Unleashed. So welcome to Carlos. And everybody, please say and welcome Carlos to the program. I had Papa on, man, God, probably 4 months ago. And I'm not sure that they can come on anymore. They were cool for a little bit. And then I think when we became Bay Area Sports Collective, I think they said, no more. So I'll text Pop today. And you're right. It's about time. I mean, we're getting close to camp, maybe another week. The closer we get to camp, the more, you know, I'll have mom. But I mean, we're in contact all the time. We've been friends for 15 years and close friends for 15 years. It's just, we haven't really talked about, you know, the show or anything, or his show or my show. We don't really talk about it anymore, but we just talk about general stuff. But yeah, I'll ask him because I'm not sure he can come on anymore. Although, you know, Pop, he's not one to for the rules. So we'll see. But anyway, yeah, thank you. Thank you for finding the channel, first of all. And second of all, I'll talk to him and I'll see where they are as far as get an update on status there. But I'm not sure. He came on early in the process. I agree with you, Free Murph. Let's see. What is it? Let's see. Now, Camber said, no, at least they did to Murph and he guessed on PBBQ. Yeah. Yeah, I think they did. I think because I know Murph was coming on. I think Murph was even coming on weekly, wasn't he? Wasn't Murph coming on weekly with Paulie? And then I think they said, they took that out. So I don't know if they can come on at all or whatever the case may be. But anyway, who knows? I'm not in the loop there anymore. All right. Let's see. Episode 187. We just did the Will Clark stuff. 13-0. So I think I already talked about it. What's there to talk about? The only thing that comes out of that game to me is, Tristan Beck sucked. And as much as I've talked about Justin Verlander not being great over his last 30 plus starts, two out of his last three starts, he deserved better. He's 0-7. He should at least have two wins, if not more than that. But he certainly pitched well enough yesterday to be in that game, not losing 13-0. Dodger matchups. Let me do this real quick because I've got the Giannis stuff and I'm going to hit that up after a little bit of baseball talk here. And since we started with Will Clark, let's just stay with the theme of baseball and then we'll get to this Giannis stuff. And I need your help in the Giannis discussion because I'm not sure whether this is good news or bad news. So let me do that. But let's see. Let's see the matchups. Hold on 1 second. Here we go, right here. Here's the weekend. So they're off today, obviously. Here's your weekend matchups. This is going to be fun. Dustin May, who isn't quite himself because he's coming back from about a million injuries, versus Logan Webb. Come on, get Logan Webb some runs, please. Saturday, you got to go to that game. I mean, even if you're like, I hate the Dodgers, I get it. And Otani's not going to be in there long, but I got to go on Saturday and see Otani pitch. I just have to. I did see Ohtani pitch as an angel against the A's. I did see Ohtani pitch in Anaheim when he was with the with the Angels. I got to go see him pitch as a Dodger. So I got to do that on Saturday. And then Sunday, are you kidding me? Right before the All-Star break, Yamamoto versus Ray. So both are All-Stars. Neither will obviously pitch in the All-Star game. But look at that matchup. Ray versus Yamamoto. So there's some great matchups this weekend, whether you're going Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Those are your three matchups against the Dodgers. I'll show you the standings real quickly because, as I told you yesterday, I said if you're within five games, then you can say that, you know, there's a race going on. Anything over five games, that's the cutoff point for me. So even though they got their arses kicked yesterday by Philly, 13-0, the standings are as follows. So there you go right there. Dodgers, Cubs, Phillies leading their divisions. And the Giants, still a wild card team, although, again, I look at losses. So 43 losses, you're tied with the Padres. They could get two more wins. You can't give back losses. So right there, close. Giants, Padres at 43, 44, 46. If you're not above 500, I'm not talking to you. So there you go on that one. So there's, as far as the Giants are concerned, 38 losses, 43 losses. You're within five, so we can say they're within shouting distance, because if they can somehow sweep them, and that's going to be tough, look at those pitching matchups, you're two back of the Dodgers, so that's not so bad. So they've got to get it together this weekend. It'd be really, really nice if Devers could get going with the bat a little bit, keep it going with Willie Adames. Bullpen's got to find itself. There's some injuries and tiredness in the bullpen. Good that the All-Star break is coming up, because I think they need a little bit of a break. And in a second, because I thought we needed content today, but we don't, because of Will Clark and because of Brock Purdy and because of Giannis, we have plenty of content. But since I already looked it up and messed with it, I'm going to give you a deadline list. And I've got a reason why I'm doing a deadline list today, because I saw one that ESPN did and I thought we were going to need content, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just going to do it anyway. Might as well. So anyway, very cool, man. Thank you very much. Love the show. Describes the channel perfectly. And thanks for all the warm welcome. See ya. Thanks for making the time. We appreciate it. You don't have to be here for a long time. You're just here for a good time. So I appreciate it. Please come back. It's very cool. I love it when people jump into the chat room and are new. So that's very cool. Kyle, good morning to you. I don't know that I've seen you. Are you another new one? It's very nice to see you. Micho Rizzo. What a great name and what a great avatar. Micho Rizzo. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Very nice to see you, my friend. Get a lot of new people in here. Yes. Thank you for asking. Will you be at training camp? I will be at training camp. This is really cool because at KNBR, obviously, doing the show with Pop for all those years, and even at 95.7, other than a brief period of time for about 3 or 4 years that I was with Tom in the afternoons, I was doing middays, and so it was really hard to do to go down to training camp. Now, we were live from training camp, which was really, really cool, and they would give us players and so forth, and that was fun. We'd do that for like a week, we'd be there about 3 days, and that was a lot of fun. But outside of that, you couldn't actually go to camp because we were 10 to 2, and that's when camp was going on. So I will have video and interviews and all sorts of stuff, and we'll put it right here on the John Lund Unleashed channel. So thank you for asking. Yes, in a couple of weeks, we will get that rolling, and we'll have a lot of training camp stuff for you. So there you go. There's our good friend Scott. Please do like and subscribe. Really appreciate it. Both channels, by the way, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and that big B that you see. Let me take Scott off the screen. There's that big B, Bay Area Sports Collective, which is me, Tom Tolbert, Rod Brooks, Polly Mack, Creative Tony, who am I missing? Oh, of course, Jeremy Affel and Amy G, all on the Bay Area Sports Collective. All right, let's stand a little baseball. I will get some Niners. I have Brock Purdy video for you, and I have Giannis video. And again, I'll play the Giannis after we talk some more baseball. And the question will be on Giannis is this a good or a bad thing? Good or a bad thing? So this is what I was talking about. When I needed content this morning, and it was digging for stuff, I saw this on ESPN this morning. And it's got, what this is a list for every single team, whether they're buying or selling, and what player either they should sell or buy. All right. So when it came down to the Giants, best match, Merrill Kelly, Woogie, by the way, look it up. Something about Mary. That's who he looks like. Is that hair gel? So there's Merrill Kelly right there, the Diamondbacks, which for a lot of people would be like, you know what? That's not bad because he's been so good against us. Let's just get him on our team. So that's not bad. Merrill Kelly's been good against the Giants, especially down in Arizona. So let me go through their logic here. Third wild card says weakness starting pitching. Now, we wouldn't have said this a few weeks ago, and it's still iffy if they do have a weakness of starting pitching. And here's the only reason I say that. Do they need a number three starter, especially if they're going to be a playoff team that does anything? Yeah. After Robbie Ray and Logan Webb, is it going to be Birdsong? Is it going to be Verlander? Is it going to be Roop? And they lost, if they lost anything in that trade for Devers, which I do 100 times out of 100, and we've said this a million times, they lost major league pitching depth. They lost Harrison. They lost Hicks. So, yeah, they lost some depth. Could they use a three starter? Yeah. But my argument against what ESPN is saying here, starting pitching in Merrill Kelly, is that I still think they need a second baseman. They could use any kind of an outfielder. I mean, Mike Yastrzemski's okay. They could use an outfielder. They could use a second baseman. With Eric Miller's injury, I think they could use a left-handed arm out of the pen so they don't burn their pen, because we're seeing way too much Spencer Bivens and Joey Lucchese and who else out of that pen that I just, you know. We might see Sean Jelly again. I hope not. But, you know, we're just seeing too many guys outside of the core guys who are really getting it done. So that makes me a little bit bleh. So anyway, there is Merrill Kelly is what ESPN is saying if they had one player to get. And again, I'm not down on Merrill Kelly. But I did this yesterday for you, but I did it so that you could make this out really easily. So this is OPS by position, all right, in the league and where the Giants rank. So we know, great job by Patrick Bailey the other night getting the inside the park home run. But here's reality. Okay. We gave him a day off. We said there will be no Patrick Bailey slander yesterday on the show. Okay. That's gone. 545 OPS, which is last in baseball. I know he's a great defender, but that cannot continue. First base, 29th out of 30 teams. That's going to be Rafael Devers in the second half. So they're going to solve that. Rafael Devers is going to play first base in the second half after the All-Star break. Second base, which has been Fitzgerald for the most part, but Casey Schmidt sometimes, and they've tried it. 607 OPS, pathetic, 26th. They could use a second baseman, clearly. Shortstop, Willie Adames, he's better. 21st, that shocks everybody. I mean, when they signed Adames, it's like, they're not going to be 21st in OPS, but they are. Matt Chapman, mainly at third base and 862 first. Left field, acceptable, 781, very good, above average, 8th, and that's mainly Ramos. Center field, Lee got off to a great start, but about middle of the road now, 703 OPS. Right field with Yastrzemski, he's having a Yastrzemski kind of a season, 22nd. Could they upgrade there and make Yastrzemski a fourth outfielder? Yeah, they could. This is surprising, 672 OPS, 23rd from the DH position. That's mostly Flores and some Devers. I expect them to be better in the second half. And then ERA, I didn't go OPS as far as pitchers. Starting pitching ERA is 9th. But again, they're a little bit iffy there. And then relief pitching ERA is 317. It's first in baseball, and that's dandy. But through April and May, their ERA from the bullpen perspective was like 2.5. So their bullpen ERA has gone up over half a run in the last 5 weeks. So it has not been as good. Now, it's first. It's first. Quit complaining, Lund. It's first. I get it. But I still think they could use a left-handed upgrade. So where do they need help? Glad you asked. Catcher, first base, second base, right field. And I think they could use a back end starter, and they could use a left-handed arm out of the pen after losing Eric Miller, who's having such a good year. So that's going off the board in 3-2-1. So you see how they need upgrades. He's saying Merrill Kelly. I'm not against Merrill Kelly. I'm just simply saying that they have a lot of needs for a team that's the third wild card. And this is assuming you want to go somewhere. Okay. Can they make the playoffs as is? Maybe. Cardinals are right around them. Padres right around them, whatever. So it's going to be tight. You know, you're going to have to win probably 88 to 91 games, something in that range. So, yeah, they can use an upgrade, and I think they will. They already got Devers. The front office realizes that they probably need something else. So here's what you love, right? It's like, yeah, Lund's talking about a bunch of crap, but who are we looking at? All right, I just put a quick list together. All right, trade deadline list. Now, there's other guys that are not on this list that I'm sure you can throw out there, and if you want to throw out a name, that's awesome. But for example, you want a starter? I'd go Seth Lugo, 35-year-old guy, 6-5 with a 267. He's got a player option for 2026. He'd probably be a free agent. Mitch Keller, anybody on the Pirates as far as their record is concerned, like Paul Skeens has been amazing. He's a below 500 pitcher as far as win-loss, but Mitch Keller's solid, and he's got a contract through 2028 that's very reasonable. Luis Robert is a swing for the fences. You could put him in right field. Look at those numbers. 8 home runs, 32 RBIs, 185 batting average with a 583 OPS. He's got a team option for next year, but he's a guy who's still 27 years old, tons of upside. He could hit the ball out of any park. I don't care. He's a right-handed hitter. Could you get him for next to nothing because he's been so bad and take a chance? He could play right. I think he could play right field. It's going to be a bit of an adventure out there, especially at the beginning. So maybe late in the late innings, Mike Yastrzemski is going to play. But again, at very worst, you have a right-left platoon there. I didn't put very many first basemen. I just put Josh Naylor because I think that Devers is going to be fine at first base. But I showed you the DH numbers. They're 23rd as far as DH is concerned. So if Wilmer Flores becomes the full-time DH, that's okay. He was great early in the year. He has been very clutch throughout the year and as a Giant. But just saying, look at those numbers for Naylor. 11 home runs, 58 RBIs, went an 822 OPS, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. So how much do you have to give up? If I'm trying to get a starting pitcher, I know he mentioned Merrill Kelly, but if I'm going to Arizona, I'm going to ask about Zach Gallen. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He's usually nails. He's 7-9, but more importantly, a 5.15 ERA. He's been horrible. So maybe you can get him for very little. He's going to be a free agent. He's been terrible. My problem is I don't think Arizona's out of it. So if you're looking at Naylor, if you're looking at Gallen, ESPN mentioned Woogie, Merrill Kelly. I don't think Arizona A is going to trade and B sure as hell ain't going to trade to the Giants, but why not? The hot name lately over the last probably week, Edward Cabrera of the Marlins of the Fish, 3-3 with a 333. And he's got one more year of ARB eligibility. That would be a guy that you could get into your rotation, not only this year, but next year. And he's not going to cost you a ton. That would be a guy I would really look at. Because if you're looking at Gallen, he's a free agent. If you look at Kelly, he's a free agent. If you look at Lugo, he's got a player option. He'll probably opt out. If you want somebody beyond this year that's been pretty solid and wouldn't cost you a ton, Cabrera might be a really nice get, and he's still young enough to be in your rotation for next year and cheap enough. Chapman, to me, is really interesting. Aroldis Chapman helped the Cubs win the World Series in a trade deadline deal. Coming over to the Yankees in 2016, he's having a great year. 3-2 with a 125. He's still throwing gas. And he's a lefty. And he could be a replacement if your bullpen situation is not great. But could you imagine a 7-8-9, the type of gas you could throw in a 7-8-9 of Rodriguez, Duvall, and Chapman? And Chapman could be your left-handed, another left-handed arm out there because Eric Miller's gone. So I'm specifically looking at lefties. Gregory Soto's not having a good year, but for Baltimore, nobody is. But he's been good in the past. 0-2 of the 390. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Left-handed, again, left-handed arm out of the bullpen, which they're missing without Eric Miller. And then two second basemen. Ramon Urias of the Orioles is playing more third than second. And again, a 687 OPS. Does that really get me overly excited? Not really. But he's a 31-year-old veteran who's going to give you, and I've said this over the last number of days, just average second base play. Just give me average second base play, man. And they'll be okay because then Devers is at first, average second base play. By the way, I threw this one on late, and I think this is much more likely. The Manassian brothers. Perry Manassian is in Anaheim, L.A., with the Angels. And, of course, Zach Manassian is the general manager of the Giants. So we always think about connections when you think about trades, right? Well, the Angels, the brother of the general, the brothers – are the general managers of the Angels and the Giants. Think they might make a move at some point? Moncada was a big-time prospect with the Red Sox, got traded in the sale deal to the White Sox, and has never lived up to it. He's like 30 years old, but that's a 799 OPS is what that is at the end. I know he's hitting 229, batting average overrated, 6 home runs, 19 RBIs. That's in 105 at-bats. So he's been pretty productive in 105 at-bats. The batting average is not great. But he's got a nearly 800 OPS, Yoan Moncada, and maybe he's finally getting it. So of that list, Moncada would be not bad, and you wouldn't have to give up a whole lot. I'd love to get Chapman. I'd love to get a left-handed arm out of the bullpen throwing gas, and then you just have serious gas at the end, not in a bad way. I mean gas in a good way, at the end of games. And then Edward Cabrera to me is really interesting. Could you get Cabrera, Chapman, and Moncada? Probably not. So there's my trade deadline list. Rip it apart. Go for it. Rip it apart. But specifically, Moncada to me, Chapman and Cabrera would be really nice pickups. And I wouldn't mind, and I'm not saying all of these players. I'm just saying if you could get Luis Robert for next to nothing, why not? Just see what he's got. And if he all of a sudden could, you know, get his groove back, then all of a sudden you got a guy with serious power who could hit it out of any park. So anyway, give me your thoughts. If there's a player I am missing that you like. Like, I know a Duran of the Red Sox. A lot of people are talking about Alcantara of the Marlins is a guy. He's just having a horrible year. But again, if you can get him for next to nothing, why not? Why not? That would be kind of interesting. I think Dom said Trout. Go see if Trout would like to come finish his career in the major leagues. Who knows on Trout? And I know that's been mentioned here before, now that he's finally healthy, but I think Trout wants to go east. He's a Philly guy. I'm not saying he's going to the Phillies, but I could see Trout just going, okay, I'm sick of it. And if you're Mike Trout, it's like, look, you've been to the playoffs once, man. Like, don't you want to go to the playoffs? Don't you want to see? Like, I know that obviously he's content to be on the second team in LA and doesn't need the pub and all that kind of stuff. And he's getting paid fine. And clearly he doesn't want, you know, he must be a guy who just doesn't want the spotlight on him. I get it. But don't you want to just try? Don't you just want to be in the playoffs so that when you go down in history and you say, yeah, but Mike Trout played in two or three playoff games, whatever it's been. Like, don't you want to just see what you could do on that big stage? I don't know. Anyway, whatever. All right, so give me your thoughts on there. Let me know what you think as far as names. Please trade Yaz. I mean, like I said, I showed you the OPS list. I mean, catcher's horrible. First is horrible. Second is horrible. Right field's not great. DH, a little bit of a surprise there. So anyway, I mean, there's some positions. And then, like I said, you could use a third starter. You could use a left-handed arm out of the pen. There's no doubt about it. So anyway, there is some ideas as we get closer and closer. What's today? The 9th? Is today the 9th? Yeah, so we're getting closer and closer, just a few weeks away from the trade deadline. So I wanted to give you some names because everybody loves names, right? It's like, okay, you're talking about it, but who are we talking about? So anyway. Larry Bear said they don't have it. I don't listen to Larry Bear at all. Said they don't have interest in Reynolds anymore, so they're not going to bring anybody in a free agent into the year. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I understand that. But Reynolds aren't the worst thing in the world in that you don't have to give up as much. All right. So Lugo's a player option. He's going to opt out. Luis Robert, you could keep. You got two team options after him. Naylor, Arizona's not trading to the Giants. I just threw it out there. Cabrera's ARB eligible. Chapman's a free agent, but you're not going to have to give up much. So when Larry Bear says, we're not bringing in Reynolds. Well, you know, what's Chapman going to cost you? A flyer arm and probably a ball right now. He's a 37-year-old guy. The Red Sox aren't going anywhere. He's not going to cost you anything. But can you imagine what he could bring to the table as a left-hander? Huge. Yoan Moncada, for example, with the Angels, free agent at the end of the year. Major upgrade at second base right now compared to what they've gotten so far. A guy with an 800 OPS. That's 105 at-bats. Again, 229 is not great, but 6 home runs, 19 RBIs, and 100 at-bats with an 800 OPS. He's not going to cost, again, that's an A-ball flyer arm is what that's going to cost you. So I'm not saying that Larry Bear didn't say that, but I'm also saying, hey, dude, like those guys, the guys I mentioned, Chapman, Moncada, being free agents at the end of the year, Red Sox are going nowhere. Chapman's 37. He's going to be gone. So get something. They won't have to give up much. Moncada, like I said, used to be a big-time prospect, was one of the best in baseball. His brother runs the Angels, just like Zach Manassian is the general manager. He doesn't run the Giants, but he's a general manager. Those guys are going to talk. You need a second baseman. We'll take a flyer arm from you. You know, probably a guy that we'll never see in the majors. So when Larry Bear says, we're not doing a rental, I understand you're not doing a rental to the level of maybe a Zach Gallen, which Arizona's not trading here anyway, but I'm just saying from a comp standpoint, Zach Gallen's going to cost you something. Yoan Moncada and or Aroldis Chapman, they're just not going to cost you much. Chapman 37, Red Sox not going anywhere, that's not costing you much. So I get what he's saying, but if you told me that the Giants had Chapman and Moncada on their team for down the stretch, I'd feel a lot better about things. So anyway, give me your thoughts. Like I said, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just trying to use a little bit of a, no, I cannot really pitch. And I by the way, I am a lefty, but can I pitch? Hell no. I've told you this story before. Let's do a quick random real quick because I do have some Giannis stuff. Do I have any more baseball? I don't think I did. I don't think I do. So we'll be done with baseball. And by the way, if you missed all the Will Clark fireworks, which we led the show with, either go back to the beginning or hit me up on the chapters after the show. But, I was going to tell a story and now I forgot about it. God. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. So I've told this story on the air before, but let me just real quick. So speaking of me as a pitcher, for about four straight years when I worked in Detroit. This was pretty cool. They would put us down to spring training for the entire month, and we'd rent a house and down in Florida. And we would, but before spring training started, so we were down there 6 weeks, but then the fantasy camp that the Tigers did was the week before spring training. So the Giants do one of these. Bill Lasky's a big part of it. I don't know if people realize this, but you go down and you play with some of the greats of all time, and you pay X amount of dollars, and they treat you like a major leaguer. They're a home and road uniforms, or you're in the clubhouse that they use for spring training, and it's the week before spring training starts, and it's all these old guys who thought, if I didn't have that damn trick knee, I could be in the majors. So it's baseball fantasy camp. And some of the greats from all time with the Tigers, just like the Giants, are all down there, and you're playing against them and all that kind of stuff, and you're playing against other guys, and you're playing a couple of times a day, and it's really fun, and you're telling stories, and you're going out and drinking and all that kind of stuff. It's a good time. But they did it the week before spring training. So I was down in Lakeland, Florida for like 8 weeks. And if you live in Detroit, it's like 8 weeks. Are you kidding me? It's snowing like a mother. It's hailing sideways. Like, this is awesome. So we're down there for that, and we're down there for spring training. So it ends up to being about 8 weeks. So I do fantasy camp, and they let me pitch. I don't know why. I wasn't very good, but they let me pitch. And so I'm in this one game, and I get two outs, and I'm feeling really good. And you probably know the name Frank Tanana, another lefty. Play with the Angels, but also play with the Tigers. Frank Tanana comes out to the mound. And this guy probably is a guy coming up to the plate. He's hunched over a little bit and everything. Older guy. He's kind of, sauntering all slowly up to the plate. And he's in his 70s probably. At this point, this is about 20 years ago for me. So I'm not in bad shape. So he comes up to me, and I don't remember the guy's name. This is Larry from, some big sponsor of the Tigers, right? Larry from Budweiser, whatever. And he loves baseball, and, don't be throwing him curveballs and don't gas him. In other words, throw some BP to this guy. Larry's a big deal. Budweiser, big sponsor, whatever it was. I don't think it was Budweiser, but you get the point. Spends a lot of money. Don't strike this guy out. Don't throw nasty shit at this guy. Just let him hit the ball. I'm like, okay. So I throw a couple of meatballs up there. Larry misses them or fouls them off or something. And I'm in like a 1-2 count, right? There's a couple of guys on like second, third, and you want to win. Like your adrenaline starts going. You want to win, right? And so I'm kind of looking around. I'm rubbing a ball up, and I look around, and like there's guys in the infield. They don't know that Frank Tanana told me that give this, give this guy some BP practice, right? And I did. Probably threw him like five batting practice balls, and he couldn't either hit them or he dribbled them foul or whatever. And so guys are like, they're starting to, come on, man, let's go. Let's get out of the inning. You got this. Let's go. Because, these are guys, you're set on a team. And so I got to go back into the clubhouse, and I got to face these guys, and they're going to give me shit that old man Larry got to rip off me or something like that. So finally I'm like, it's like a 2-2 count or something. I'm like, I'm not letting this guy hit me. And so I throw him an Uncle Charlie. And don't get me wrong, man. It's not like I have a Landon Roop curveball or something like that, but it was decent enough. And Larry just goes, whiff. This old 75-year-old guy whiffs at this pitch, and Frank Tanana's pissed. But the rest of my team's happy, right? And Larry's the guy with the money. He's kind of pissed too, and he strikes out, and he kind of hits his bat on the plate, and he's pissed off. And I go, kind of running back into the dugout. Frank Tanana's like, what the fuck, man? He's like, that's Larry from Budweiser. Spends a bunch of money on the big sponsor of the Tigers, man. I told you, man. BP, you got to give him some BP, man. It's a big deal. And I'm like, I'm sorry, bro, man. I'm like, I'm looking at my teammates, and I just can't do it. I couldn't do it. It was like basically he's asking it to take a dive, right? In the boxing ring, he's asking, take a dive. Come on, man, take a dive. We got a lot of money on you. Take a dive in the third round. I just got to the 2-2 count, gave the guy like four or five pitches to hit. I couldn't do it. So I threw him a curveball. He struck out, and Frank Tanana was pissed. He was so pissed. I didn't care. I was like, whatever. And I don't think he let me pitch after that. And by the way, you do this for like a week, this fantasy camp, you play like two games a day. So you play some night games, day games. I probably pitched three times. I thought my arm was going to fall off. I mean, I have so much respect for baseball players. I have respect for all professional athletes. But these guys do this all year long. I pitched like three times. I might have pitched like two total innings. I was like, I was going to die. It was rough, man. It was rough. I think I might have strained a hamstring too, running down to first base on a play. I mean, it was unbelievable. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Good morning, good morning, good morning. If you are just joining us, John Lund Unleashed. So far, episode 187, Will Clark goes off on Will Fleming. That's not on the board. If you missed it, go back to the beginning, or I'll post the chapters. Unbelievable. Will Clark basically says, fuck off, because everything was taken out of context. 13-0, 13-0, so not going to talk about it. Dodger matchups, needs by OPS I gave you. The trade list I gave you that as well. So that's all the baseball I believe I have today. We have Brock Bussin and Giannis, and I want to know your Giannis thoughts and if this is good or bad news. So do I have anything else baseball related? We've done like an hour on the show, and we've done just baseball, but it was worth it between Will Clark and stories and everything else. So let's see. Hi, Tunabomb. You say Urias a more solid ad than Moncada. Moncada not any different than Schmidt. I'm just saying, like, I agree with you. Moncada was a big time prospect, didn't live up to it. I'm just saying, through 100 at bats, which is nothing, he's done pretty well. He would cost you absolutely zero, and we'll see on Schmidt. But you're right; it's kind of a dart throw, but I wouldn't mind it, and I don't think it's going to cost you anything. So anyway, that's just my thought. All right, let's see, what else do we have today? Anybody else jump in the room with any thoughts before we move on to what we're going to be? Oh, some Brock stuff, which is hilarious. I got to play this for you. I could even do this for the caboose. Should I do that for the caboose? Yeah, maybe I'll save Brock Bussin for the caboose. Maybe I'll do that because I don't have a caboose today. Yeah, fantasy camp's amazing. Like after a few days too, because what you do is you play games during the day for the most part. You do one, I think there's one day where you do night games. But for the most part, you do. Day games, and then you drink all night, and then you're hungover for the game. It's like, oh my god, yeah, I know. My first pitch, and I played that the other day. By the way, I played my first pitch, and I did post it on John Lund Unleashed. If you want to see it, I posted it the other day. Yeah, I was doing Chad Bradford. Not to say that I could pitch, but I was doing Chad Bradford, and that didn't really work out so well. But yeah, I don't think I can relief pitch, but I can do better than what I did in that game. But I made $100 by doing a Chad Bradford impersonation. Embarrassing. Fairly embarrassing. All right, I'm going to save Brock for the end. So Brock Bussin, I'm going to save for the end. We're moving the chalkboard all around, but let's do that for the caboose pistol because it's pretty funny. The question that was asked by Taylor Lewan was, what would you do to win a Super Bowl? Would you cut off your foot? Would you go to prison for a year? Would you? Anyway, we'll do that for the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol because it's pretty funny. All right, so let's move that one. All right, I told you that there's these 2 weeks where there's just nothing going on in the NFL, right? Just dead. And the NFL does an amazing job, but these 2 weeks, then what starts to happen is you still got to have NFL news. You can't have no NFL news, right? So ESPN, let me see if I have the right one up here. ESPN did these lists. Let me see. Oh, wait a minute here. Here it is. Okay. NFL did these lists, and so we've been talking about these lists. So they did like a running back list and a D line list, an edge list. I think we talked about Bosa yesterday, which I was fine with. They had him fifth after Max Crosby and Parsons and Watt and what was the other one? Miles Garrett, and I was fine with that. So anyway, they're doing a bunch of lists. This surprised me because remember early in the offseason, everybody bitching, oh my God, the Niners have lost all these guys, and then I told you. He said, look, man, the only guy they lost of any kind of significance is Dre Greenlaw. Hufanga was going to, you know, yeah, it's bad that Mustafa got hurt, but he was going to start over Hufanga. So we've discussed all these different things. We've done it a million times. So I didn't mind the offseason. And then Brock Purdy gets signed and Kittle gets signed and Warner gets signed. And all of a sudden everyone's like, whoa, they didn't have a bad offseason. But I was surprised by this. ESPN gave him an A minus. Like I was thinking ESPN maybe give him a C plus. But best signing or best move, signing Brock Purdy extension, move I liked, Robert Saleh, move I disliked, none. Now, none's too strong. Move I disliked, not getting Dre Greenlaw. Like, not getting Dre Greenlaw is the move I disliked. I don't mind not getting Hufanga. I don't mind Leonard Floyd. I don't mind, like, you go down the rest of the line and all the rest of those guys, I got no issues. Dre Greenlaw, and they've admitted this, they miscalculated the market. He was coming off an Achilles. He played 34 total snaps last year, and I think the team thought, we can get him on a one-year deal. And essentially, by the way, if you look at the Denver contract, it's a one-year deal. But at least it's a one-year deal for like $11 million. I think their initial offer was like $7, $8 million. So that turned him off. He got pissed off. He said he was going to go to the Broncos. They made a late charge at him. And he said, I've already said I'm going to go to Denver, so I can't go back on it. I don't think they're going to miss Debo. I'm looking at this thing. Debo, and I saw him in Washington. He is gigantic. So I just don't think that's a big deal. Aaron Banks, way overpaid. Ward was never going to come back. Jalen Moore, way overpaid. Talanoa Hufanga, too injured. And Dre Greenlaw. And they got Bryce Huff, by the way. And they didn't even mention that. I'd say that the move I liked, I'd put Saleh and Huff. And yeah, best move was, or biggest move was signing Brock Purdy. So they got everything done. So they started out where people were going, oh my God, what are they doing? And they finished with a flurry. And so A-, I think earlier in the offseason, what did I give them? I probably gave them a B+ or something like that. They lost a lot of guys, but I wasn't as worried. I never was. Like, and everybody was freaking out. I was like, look, they lost Greenlaw. That was the big loss. So an A-, I was a little surprised by that. A- seemed a little bit high up for me, but that's what it was. Getting a lot of new people in the room today. Outstanding. Who doesn't love this? Daily Bluntathon. By the way, Daily Bluntathon, since you have the West Sacramento A's, what's going on with Jacob Wilson? I know he got hit on the hand. What's the story on him this morning? I forgot to look. Is he okay? Because that would really suck. He got voted the All-Star Game, first rookie shortstop to start for the AL in the All-Star Game since 1960. I hope he's not hurt. But he did leave the game last night. So what's the story on him, man? I didn't look this morning. I hope he's all right, because that would suck. That would really suck. Let's see, what else do we have today on the football front? Oh, the other list that ESPN had today, when I thought I needed content, but I don't, was the safety list. Where's that at? I have that somewhere here. Oh, you know what? Yeah, let me do this. So I thought I needed content, but then Will Clark went off and I found Giannis and all these kind of things, but I'm still going to do this. So that's off-season grade. Where's the other one that they had up here? The ranked 10. See, here's where I'm getting a little nervous. Let's see. I don't see that. Let me see. Do I need to? Oh, man. Here, let me reset this. Let me see if this will work. Okay, can you see that now? So obviously the Niners are not going to have a top 10 safety. Kyle Hamilton, as we saw a couple of years ago against the Niners, remember that interception he had? So Hamilton, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to go through the safeties. There isn't a safety to be found as far as the 49ers are concerned. Now, to make matters worse, and there's a reason why I'm doing this, not to, you know, be negative or anything on the Niners, but to make matters worse, let me share my screen with you one more time. And look at this. So where's a Niners safety as far as Pro Football Focus? And again, you may think Pro Football Focus is full of it. No, 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 no. Kirby Joseph, this is just overall. So you got run defense, pass defense, coverage. Overall is that 90.7 that you see from Kerry Joseph. So if you say to yourself, their numbers aren't very good. Well, Joseph was pretty good last year. Hamilton, McKinney, Brandon Jones, Brian Branch, Jabril Peppers, Julian Love of the Seahawks. I mean, those are the top safeties in the game. They're pretty good. So you got to keep going and going and going and going and going. And finally at 50 with a 64.8, and think of PFF grades like grades in school. If you got a 64.8, that's not good. So Jair Brown is the 50th best safety in football. And Malik Mustafa, who's going to be out for the beginning of the year because of that injury, is 63.9. So that's not good. In addition to that, those guys are young. So I'm trying to find another. There you go. Pinnick last year with the Giants, 78th, 54.5. You're getting held back. You're failing seventh grade. Like 54.5? No, 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 no. That's not good. So the safety position for the 49ers, not good. And it makes me nervous. And you either do or don't like Pro Football Focus grades. I'm not saying they're the best, but what I am saying is that when you look at most Pro Football Focus grades by position, mostly they're in some sort of a close order to what reality is. So whether you like them or not, they're fairly accurate. Sometimes more so than others. I get it, but they're fairly accurate. So the safety position for the 49ers, as ESPN did the safety position. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not overly excited about it. I don't know where Justin Simmons is from a health standpoint. Oh, let me do this. Oh, let me do this one more time. I've said this a ton of times. Julian Blackman is a guy that I like, and I don't know why. Maybe he's asking for too much money or whatever the case may be. Did I shut this down? This is the first I've seen this with all these lists that ESPN is doing. There, let me do this. Okay, so I told you that, you know, there's no safeties or whatever. Okay, Kyle Hamilton, yeah. Brian Branch, yeah. Xavier McKinney, yep. Jesse Bates getting a little bit older. Kerry Joseph, Derwin James, really good. Antoine Winfield, Buda Baker, we know about that. He's in division. Micah Fitzpatrick, I get it. Julian Love's a nice player. I thought he was in the top 10. Maybe he's not. Maybe he was in, where did I see this? Somewhere. Julian Blackman, was he in the top 10? Did I pass him? Anyway, Julian Blackman was in there, and then it said free agent. I'm like, damn. Like, Julian Blackman's a good safety. Maybe he didn't make their top 10. Maybe I'm just high. I'm not, but maybe it was on another list. Anyway, Julian Blackman's a nice safety from the Colts, and I'd say that he's probably a top 20 safety. And, like, he's not – let me see. Now this is going to drive me crazy. I don't need to find it. Whatever. But he still is sitting out there as a free agent. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know who he made mad or alienated or pissed off, or I don't know if he's a jerk or whatever. But I said it even when he was coming out of Utah. I'm like, this guy's a pretty solid safety. He's had a really nice career. He's only 27, 28 years old, and he's still a free agent. And I'm sitting there going, Niners need an adult in the room. What's going on? So I hope they can pick up a safety before training camp or around training camp, because either Justin Simmons or Julian Blackman or somebody, because there's of every position on the roster right now, you know, quarterback, running back, offensive line. I mean, left guard's not in a great spot. Defensive tackle, I'm a little nervous. Linebackers outside of Fred Warner, I'm nervous. But safety is like, oh, my God. It's your last line of defense. Not great. Not great. So, anyway. All right. There's some Niners news when I thought I needed some content today. Giannis speaks, and we're going to do some NBA stuff in just a second. Dom has a super. Thank you, as always, my good friend Dom, donating to the show. People have spoken. They want bottom of the pint merch. Hit me up. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. What I need, Dom, I'm sure we can order these easy because I've got a store. And I think you have a store, right? I know Paulie's doing a bunch of stuff. I need a bottom of the pint glass because like this, like I know I have one sitting here like a drunk, but this had water in it. I need this because what I'm doing is during the show, during the Friday nights with the Giants games, for bottom of the pint, which if you're new around here, we do a bottom of the pint Giants during the Giants game. We do a live broadcast and have a bunch of fun. Well, usually with Larry Kruger and the Krug show, but Krug's going to be down at the game against the Dodgers on Friday night. So maybe he'll pop in or whatever, but I'm still going to do one because it's the Dodgers, but we're chugging beers and it's okay chugging a beer out of a can. I did it the other day on the show, like on a morning show. I can't remember because it was July 4th. I chugged one out of a can, which is fine, but I'd rather do it out of a pint glass like this. So we need pint glasses, right? So everybody can we can do a toast together and we can have a bottom of the pint glass. So that's not a bad idea. So anyway, yeah, let's do that. Let's get together and get that going. That'd be a good idea. A really good idea. See, there you go. John Joseph's like, yeah, let's do it, man. We want bottom of the pint merch. Please, at the very least, make a few shirts. I'll happily buy one. Yeah, I'll buy a shirt too, but I need a glass. I need a pint glass. And I think those would go well. Don't you think? Be pretty cool. Let's see, what else do we have today? Will Blackman, the corner that was at the Packers and at a Boston College, he's good. He's actually good on TV. Julian Blackman, different guy, but I know what you're saying. Very good. All right, there is a quick hit on the 49ers, and I'll say this again, and people have asked me this in the chat room. Once camp starts, I'll be down there every day. We'll be doing video and interviews and all sorts of other stuff, and we'll get you all sorts of great 49ers stuff, content, as they say. So we'll be doing that. All right. Let's move on to a little bit of hoop talk. Two things before I get into the Giannis speaks. And you tell me when I play this Giannis thing, give me 60 seconds to do two quick other NBA things. But in regards to the Warriors, and because I have a theory on this, if you're new in here today, everybody in the NBA has made at least one move except for the Warriors, and Warriors fans are freaking out and all that kind of stuff. And they're putting the memes up there of like, go, 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 or of, you know, the AI things of like Mike Dunleavy sleeping and all that kind of stuff. And what I think they're doing is they're waiting everybody else out, because now the Lakers have made moves. The Heat have made moves. Teams that were waiting for Giannis's decision have decided we can't wait anymore. You know, if you're Miami and you're in the East, it's like, look, the East has got a lot of injuries. We could win the East. Let's make some solid moves. They add Norman Powell. That's a nice move. They could be in it in the East with Norman Powell added to what they already have with guys like Tyler Hero and Adebayo and stuff like that. So they decided to go there. Lakers are like, we're one of the only teams along with the Warriors with no size. We can't wait any longer. We're going to go out and we're going to get DeAndre Ayton. I'm not inspired by that move, but whatever. That's what they did. They got DeAndre Ayton. They couldn't wait anymore. The Warriors are sitting around going, you know what? We're just going to wait out Giannis. And you've heard me say this before, but basically what they're saying is, look, if we add Al Horford, that's fine. We're still sixth in the West. If we add DeAnthony Melton, great. We're still sixth in the West. Like, those aren't moves that are going to catapult you above OKC or Houston or what I think is San Antonio or Dallas or Denver or whatever the case may be. Those are not needle-moving moves. In fact, if you signed Al Horford, if the Warriors signed Al Horford, because you're not signing him, if the Warriors signed Al Horford and DeAnthony Melton, their odds to win the West or win the championship would not change. Maybe, but I'm telling you, if they're, I don't know, you know, whatever they are right now, whatever their odds are right now, I'll look them up. They're not going to change with those two signings. So those wouldn't change. And the Warriors know that. And so what the Warriors are thinking to themselves is, well, why not just wait out Giannis? Because if we get Al Horford, fine. If we don't, fine. If we get Melton, fine. If not, fine. Like, Giannis can move the needle. That's it. That's the only big move out there. So let's wait everybody else out. If Giannis says he's going back to Milwaukee, that's fine. I mean, not great, but okay. But everybody else has made this move. Everybody else has used up cap space. Everybody else has decided, hell with it. We can't wait any longer. It's obvious what the Warriors are doing. They're trying to wait it out because they're not sure if Giannis is going to make that move. So with that, I was going to do two other moves, but I've already kind of talked this thing up. So you tell me, all right, when you hear Giannis here, he's on a boat. He's on, I think it's like Instagram Live or something, or maybe he's on some kind of a podcast. It is a podcast. There's a little logo down there. But is this good or bad news for the Warriors? You tell me. Here's Giannis on a boat. I think this is yesterday.
Tax is bad. New York tax is bad.
Yeah. Let me start this over.
LA, the tax is bad. New York tax is bad.
Yeah.
Hell no.
A lot of people have tried to convince me to go and play there and stuff.
Oh, no. So you're staying in Milwaukee?
Probably. We'll see.
Hey, so hang on a second. First part is taxes. He mentions LA and New York. LA's in California. So taxes, whether it be the Warriors or whether it be the Lakers, is the same damn thing. And he seems to be like, I don't want those taxes. So that's not good. But then the second part is where he says, you staying in Milwaukee? That's a total setup, by the way. You staying in Milwaukee? And Giannis says, probably. But then he goes, we'll see. So how do you interpret that? How do you interpret that? Because Giannis says, he's asked direct, you staying in Milwaukee? Probably. And then he kind of looks off into the distance and he goes, we'll see. So at first when he said probably, I went, man, okay, that's not good. But then he goes, we'll see, and kind of looks off into the distance. So he's messing around. So I don't know how to take that. He's down on the taxes, certainly. New York, he's saying LA, but that's California. So he's down on the taxes and he's saying, yeah, maybe. So let's do this one more time. How you taking this?
LA, the tax is bad. New York tax is bad.
Yeah.
Hell no.
A lot of people tried to convince me to go and play there and stuff.
Oh, no. So you staying in Milwaukee?
Probably. We'll see. See. Probably. I love Milwaukee.
All right. See, then you get that last part. Kind of looks around a little bit and goes, I love Milwaukee. So is that bad? I mean, I kind of look at that as bad news where he says, I don't like the taxes in New York or California. Love Milwaukee. But then he kind of looks off into the distance and says, probably. But then he says at the end, I love Milwaukee. So we probably learned nothing there, but at least he addresses it. And so the Warriors are sitting there going, same thing we're doing. The Warriors are like, what does he mean? The taxes? Is he out? Because that's what they're doing. Because if they didn't think they had any shot at Giannis, they would be like, okay, we'll sign this guy, we'll sign that guy, we'll be aggressive. They're the only team. And they're just saying, you know what? LA's out now. Miami's out now. These teams are making moves. By the way, the sneaky team, I keep telling you this, is San Antonio. San Antonio has the assets. But it's up to Giannis. I say this all the time. The most power right now in professional sports are NBA players. If they say they want out, teams trade them. And so Giannis has won a championship in Milwaukee. If he told Milwaukee he wants out, he gets to go. And then it's up to him. Do you want to go to San Antonio? Do you want to go to Golden State? Wherever you want to go. By the way, I think I'm interpreting this right. When he says, everyone's always trying to get me to go there, I think he's talking about New York. Because that's just New York in general. New York just thinks, oh, if you're a free agent, of course you want to come here. Of course you want to come to New York or LA. Everyone's always doing the the edits and everything, and they always are doing that kind of stuff, and the Photoshops, and they always are like, or the AI stuff, and they're always putting a player either in a New York or an LA jersey. Like, that's all they do. The Lakers, the Knicks. Oh, those are the only two places anyone would want to go. So anyway, how do you interpret what Giannis is saying there? One more time. Last time. All right. If you're the Warriors.
LA, the tax is bad. New York tax is bad.
Yeah.
Hell no.
A lot of people tried to convince me. Tried to convince me to go and play there and stuff.
Oh, no. No. So you staying in Milwaukee?
Probably. Probably. We'll see.
Maybe. Maybe.
See.
Maybe.
Probably. I love Milwaukee.
Oh, man. Anyway, there you go. There's Giannis. Take that for what you want. Maybe. Could be. I don't know. Love Milwaukee. So, I don't know. I don't think he's clearly he hasn't made up his mind. I think that's what we get to is he clearly has not made up his mind. And he did say that everybody's always trying to get him to go to New York. And then the other thing is, okay, so that's Giannis. Give me your thoughts on that. And remember I told you yesterday it was reported that Jokic is not going to sign an extension in Denver. And it's not because he doesn't want to be in Denver. It's because next year he can make get a fourth year on the deal and make an extra like $80 million. But that doesn't stop people. I told you, what jerseys do people Photoshop or AI? Well, everyone wants to go to the Knicks or the Lakers, right? Wah, wah, wah. So the minute he doesn't sign the contract extension, they go, oh, he's going to the Lakers. Oh, he's gone. That's it. Okay. I knew that was going to happen. I told you this yesterday. And then the last NBA thing, God, they must be desperate, the NBA. They don't do it like the NFL. The NFL does the best offseason. Look at this. They're just promoting the hell out of this. Cooper Flagg versus Bronny James. Will the number one pick make a statement for the Mavs against the Lakers? Like, Bronny James is nothing, man. He was a 55th pick of the draft. Stop it. Look at that. They're trying to hype it up. ESPN's like, ooh, number one pick versus Bronny, Summer League. Get out of here. Stop it. I miss me on that. I am not. I have no. Oh my God. I got to make sure I said it. I got to record that one. Cooper Flagg versus Bronny James. God, you are desperate. You are desperate. That's all there is to it, man. All right. Episode 187 today. Up on the chalkboard again, Will Clark with a not so subtle message back at Will Fleming of the Red Sox, Dave Fleming's brother, when he tried to blow out of proportion. Rafael Devers not working with Will Clark at first base. We went back and forth on that. If you missed it, we did it at the beginning of the show, even though it's not on the chalkboard, found it right before the show. So Will Clark's latest, we played yesterday him with Burnsy, but there's a latest to it where basically he says, fuck off. So go back to the beginning or hit the chapters later on in the show. That's what we started with. 13-0 so Dodger matchups, needs by OPS, my trade list, 3 weeks out. We'll update that every single week or maybe every few days. Brock Bussin, we're going to do that right now for the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. 49ers surprise grade, A-, says ESPN of the offseason. Safety help is what concerns me the most. Giannis speaks. How did you interpret that? Random things happen throughout the show, and the caboose is going to be Brock, we've decided. Brock, we decided. Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, all the rookies play. Like I told you, I did the Summer League, the Rocky Mountain Review. I saw Tim Duncan's first game, and he was struggling with Greg Ostertag. We're all looking at each other going, is this Duncan guy going to be any good? Like, I wouldn't read too much into Summer League. I'll tell you that right now. Exactly. Bronny's not even good in the G League. I saw him the other day. He went like 1 for 9, missed like 3 threes that were wide open, and then had a breakaway dunk, and the ball came out of his hands. I'm like, come on, man. I'm not trying to rip the guy. I mean, you're LeBron James' kid. That's an unenviable position to be in terms of your basketball life. It's like none of Jordan's kids played. They played to a certain level, but it's like, come on, man. Like, it's brutal. I feel bad for the kid, man. But it's like, and then ESPN's hyping up Bronny James versus Cooper Flagg. Can't miss it. You're like, really? Come on, man. Quit it. Stop it. All right. There you go. Yeah, he go. Oh yeah, the 24-hour fitness by me. Dudes are just chucking. Nobody that's a fun place to play. Nobody plays defense. Everybody's cherry picking. He'd be good, man. He'd be good. All right. What else do we have? Anything else on the board today? All right. Let's get to the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. I was going to play this earlier, but this is pretty good. And again, this is a question for you. So Brock Purdy is asked by Taylor Lewan in Bustin' with the Boys, What? Hold on, let me get my music together here. There we go. What would you do to win a Super Bowl? So, like, you know, chop off a foot, you know, go to jail. So you can give me yours. Hit me up in the chat room at John Lund Unleashed. Hit me up in the John Lund Unleashed chat room. What would you do for whatever? 49ers Super Bowl, Warriors Championship, Sharks title, whatever your team is. What would you do for, or whatever, go off the board, whatever, whoever your team is. What would you do for a championship? Brock was asked that question.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John. John.
All right, this is not part of the Caboose Pistol, but I was just looking at things I had loaded up for the show today, and I forgot to mention this. So hang on before we do. What would Brock do for a Super Bowl? My favorite, Kevin Harlan, good friend of the show, has signed with Amazon Prime. So this is huge news because we weren't going to have Harlan calling NBA games, and it's like, come on, man, that can't be possible. So he is going to call games for Amazon Prime. So there you go. Turner, of course, is not going to have the NBA. Harlan is going to call games for Amazon Prime. So we are not going to be Harlan-less for the NBA season, which makes me happy. I don't know what your thought is, but that makes me happy. So that's not a necessarily a sweet, clean, family-friendly part of the Caboose Pistol, but I forgot to mention that, so here we are. All right, here is Bustin' with the Boys. Taylor Lewan asks Brock Purdy, what would he do to win a Super Bowl?
Would you still take the Super Bowl? Let's add a layer. So you go to prison for a year. Would you cut off your foot?
Cut off my foot after?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to be straight. Okay.
Would you would you end your career if you ended on a Super Bowl this year?
Keep in mind the guarantee you have on a contract. Let's stay. Super Bowl? Was this year five?
But dude, if you're saying that.
2010. Me.
Wow.
What do you say about the career thing? Would you end your career?
He didn't answer that question.
Dude, I don't want to end my career because we can go win more, you know? Like, why would I end the career just for one more when we could win multiple?
Think about it. But you're guaranteed to win this year. You being the Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, all pro.
Dude. Offensive
but MVP. Your career is done after that. Or you can try to chase the Super Bowl for the rest of your career.
Don't try to chase. Like,
well, that's what you'll be doing. You can't sit here and guarantee you're going to have a Super Bowl.
Bro, what did other guys say? I'm curious. Like,
This podcast really gained its footing when Mike Vrabel said he'd cut his piece off for a Super Bowl.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
serious.
He said he'd cut it off. Yeah.
Head coach of New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel.
Hang on a minute. I want to make sure that you caught that because this happened a while ago and maybe you forgot. Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Patriots, who's won multiple Super Bowls, still said to this day, if he could win another one, he'd cut his piece off. His piece. No. There's nothing on earth that would make you do that. Nothing on earth. I don't care. Millions of dollars, billions of dollars, this, that. Nope, 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 nope. I'd cut off a hand. I'd cut off an arm. You know, I mean, even cut my tongue out. But not that. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Married 13 years. I'd say, yeah.
But he's also, like, he's not playing. I feel like as a player, I feel like I can make an impact.
He did mention that he won one as a player.
He wouldn't?
He won with the Patriots when he played.
Yeah.
But don't worry, if you ever meet Mike Vrabel, you'll know how many years he played in the league.
Yeah. I would go to prison for a year, preferably not under the situation of whatever you just said. But I would go to prison for a year, yes. I don't want to cut off any limbs because after that year, I'd like to get back and hopefully go chase more.
What about a finger?
How about this?
I can go left hand for sure.
Throughout your hand. In your career.
Left finger, one of these.
In your career, you can win one Super Bowl with the 49ers, or you can win three with the Seattle Seahawks.
Bro.
That is the best trap question.
That is the worst, dude.
That stop. Is.
No, I mean don't the answer. Niners, bro. Yeah.
You want to win one Super Bowl? You want to be remembered for one?
Really, dude? Shut up. Don't try to get me, dude. No, we're not doing that. Bang, bang all the way, dude.
All right, there you go. Bang, bang all the way. So just a recap for Brock Purdy. He would go to prison for a year to win a Super Bowl. No chance in my book. No chance. No chance. Prison for a year? No, 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 no. I'm sure Brock could, you know, could get with the right people and protect himself and do all those kind of things, but I'm not going to prison for a year for Super Bowl, no chance. But he said he would. Mike Vrabel said he'd cut off his unit. Brock said he wouldn't cut off a foot, wouldn't cut off. He said he would cut off a finger, and then he said, well, I could throw with my left hand. Dude, you tried that in Philadelphia. That didn't work. So no. That's not going to happen. So anyway, there you go. And then at the end, he absolutely curried favor with the faithful, where he said, where Will Compton asked him, you could win three Super Bowls in Seattle or one with the Niners. And he goes, come on, man. Bang, bang. So there you go. There is your sweet, clean, family friendly Caboose Pistol, Brock Purdy. What would you do as a fan? Like these people who get the tattoos, it's like, look, you know what you could even do? Do Super Bowl, do your team, and then just leave it open. And right in the middle, it'll say, and then you can put the year of the Super Bowl or the Super Bowl, you know, all that stuff. Like then you can fill it in. Like all these people who get it before the year, it's like, what are you doing? Stupid. Anyway, what would you do? Hang on. I just had something here. Another fine super from my good friend, Ty Needle, who says Brock would go in a QB and come out a wide receiver. Or a tight end. No, wide receiver. He wouldn't come out as a tight end. I see what you're saying there. Yeah, you got it. You're right. I'm wrong. So there you go. Thank you, Pine Needle. Brock would go in and QB come out as a wide receiver. Yes, he absolutely would. Very nice. Well done by you. By the way, let's do this. Hang on 1 second. I want to make sure I hit everybody's supers today, by the way. Come out a wide receiver. Very good. Very well done by you. Let me do this just because, you know what? Somebody mentioned this before in regards to Will Clark. So let me just play these back to back to back without context, all right? So at the beginning of the show, we did this. People were saying this would be funny as a Caboose Pistol, Will Clark going off. So you know the story. Dave Fleming's brother, Will Fleming, broadcaster for the Red Sox, got this going and then off of Will Clark. So here's what Will Clark said originally about the Devers thing.
Williams and Bob Melvin want me to go out there and work with him around first base. No problem. And we weren't going to like go through anything physical. We're just going to walk through and say, hey, look, if throw's coming from over there, stand this way. If throw's coming from over there, stand that way. It wasn't going to be this big thing, right? And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he did not come out early at all, period. Not at all. Now, in fact, he didn't even hit on the field, right? And everybody's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, Will. I'm so sorry. I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. I said, I know what the fuck happened. I said, he didn't want to go out and be at first base and be 20 feet in front of their freaking dugout with, you know, what went on in Boston. And now he's working with me at first base. He didn't want to have to go through all that bullshit through the press and the media. And so anyway, so I completely understand. But Rafael Devers, the next time I'm in San Francisco, your ass will be on the field at first base.
Okay, so then, you know, again, there was an explanation in the middle of it. The Boston media didn't want to go out there. He didn't come out and hit, so Will understood. And then this is how it was interpreted in Boston by Will Fleming, Dave Fleming's brother, who's a broadcaster of the Red Sox.
And they think he's going to win them divisions and hit a bunch. He's going to hit home runs. Of course he is. They don't yet know what is going to happen with the player. I was there the second day. Will Clark was there to work on ground balls with him at first base, and Rafi didn't show up. So that's the person that these guys have been dealing with for a long time.
Okay. And then Will Clark heard that, and here's Will's response. Here's Will's response to Will.
All right.
Yeah. I'll
get this to the beginning. And Will Fleming, you can go fuck off, motherfucker. All right. You want to fucking take a conversation that we're having and then blow it out of proportion because you're a fucking East Coast piece of shit reporter? Fuck off.
So that's how it went. And as I told you yesterday, it was taken out of context. I found that right before the show, that last part. And so that's why we were a little bit late today. We played it at the beginning. So if you want to go back and hear all my explanation about it, there it is, but we thought we'd play it for you in the Caboose Pistol again because it was that good. All right, that is it for today. Let me make sure that I got to everybody today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Great supers today from Tommy, from a couple from Fuji today, from Tangy. Welcome. Will Clark is his own Caboose Pistol, so that's why we played it again because Tangy was like, Will Clark is his own Caboose Pistol. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Fuji had supers with us today. Dom had a super with us today. They want Bottom of the Pint merchandise. Absolutely, positively. We will make sure that we do that. And Pine Needle with the line of the show. Brock would go in as a quarterback and come out a wide receiver. There you go. Thank you to everybody for hanging out today. Absolutely great show today. Tons of fun. We got through a lot of it. Episode 187, Will Clark and that whole thing. Dodgers matchups, OPS, the list. That's a trade list for the deadline. Brock Bussin, we saved that for the end. 49ers surprise grade for the offseason was an A-. Concerned about the safeties. Giannis speaks, but I don't know that we learned anything about his future. Random things happen throughout the show. And the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Anything else we got to hit today? I think we are good. By the way, I got to get out of here because, yeah, 5 minutes, I think, right? For PMP. We got Polymax Particles with Creative Tony. That's coming up at 11 o'clock on the Bay Area Sports Collective. So make sure I give you a couple of minutes and then you can jump on with those guys. All right. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Always appreciate you. Remember, questions, comments, thoughts. If you watch the show later, hit me up in the comments underneath, or you can hit me up, John Lund Unleashed, johnlundunleashed.com, at John Lund Radio on X and Instagram as well. Those are good places to hit me outside of the YouTube channel. Please subscribe. Please get those alerts on so we can hit you up for stuff we send out through the day. And don't leave today without hitting us with a like. Have a wonderful Thursday. Thanks as always for tuning in.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!